Welcome to another Monday at Flowery Branch and the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Falcon head coach, of course, with us in our first half hour today. And a tough loss yesterday at the Georgia Dome to the Indianapolis Colts, 24-21. And, Coach, I'll go back to something you said after the ball game in your press conference. You said it's a multitude of things that you want to get through with this football team to get it back to where it was. How much of it is X and O's? How much of it now on a Monday is maybe mentally or some of those things?
Yeah, you always want to go back and look at the film. You're exactly right. It was a tough loss, tough for the fans, for the players, and certainly for the coaches as well. It hurts as competitors. What we've had is six games that we've had decided by 4 points or less, and we're only 3-3 in those, and that's not good enough.
Yeah.
And so for us, when we go back and look at those things, usually it comes down to the ball. And we've had a number of games. We're either zero or plus, and we're 5-1, and we're in the negative in the turnover ratio. We're 1-3. So when we do a good job going after the ball and taking care of it, we're hard to deal with. And when we don't, that's when we're at our worst.
Well, and ball security, that's not something you've been talking about that since you've been here. So now I guess it boils down to the players actually executing what you've been talking
about.
Sure.
There's going to be a play that, tip ball happens and that, but, a fumble that gets forced or making a bad decision of where to go with the football, those are the things, that's totally in our control. And those things will get fixed.
How do you, from a psyche standpoint, I know that confidence is a big part of the game. There's a lot of good players on both sides of the ball on both teams, but if you're playing with some confidence, I guess you let it rip and you play a lot freer. I know she had a conversation with Ryan on the field, I think, post-interception that was returned for a touchdown. I was watching down there. I don't know if you had a conversation or if Billy had a conversation with Coleman. Is that something that needs to happen when this has kind of manifested itself into what it is?
Well, I definitely wanted to make sure, like, hey, man, we believe in you. Let's go let it rip. And let's go take our shots and be aggressive. That's the style that we love to play. So he made a bad decision, in terms of, on the pick that went back to the house and one that he can't make. But I said, we have all the faith in you, so let's go let it rip.
It's interesting because the momentum yesterday, Dave and I caught ourselves a little bit in the second half talking about it, the momentum just kept rolling back and forth.
Sure.
How much of that is generated from within, I guess, sometimes? I know plays have a lot to do with it.
It does. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
A play, a TFL, a sack, a long run, a big catch where it kind of shifts and then you get on the ball and you get to go attack again. I think that as much as anything, that's, those highs and lows that go on. What we generally like to do is say, can we keep – doing right longer, and usually when we're at our best, that's the case.
To that point, the early turnovers, in retrospect, that's pretty frustrating stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we banged, missed on a field goal on one, and so we're just going to keep attacking and keep trying to give the ball back, and we don't capitalize on them.
Yeah.
That's not what we want because we're trying so hard to keep creating them, and there's a lot of things that we do well, especially offensively. We're one of the best in total yards, one of the best on third down. So, okay, what's the common denominator when we don't take care of the ball? And I think that's what I want to make sure the message gets across to the team. There's a number of things, that we're doing really well, but the one we're not is the most important, taking care of the ball.
You had talked about when you came out of the break, you wanted to look back at yourself and some of those things that you want to do better, some of the things you want to continue to do well. Roddy saw the ball three times right off the start, and I know maybe some of that was facilitated by the game, but how much was that a concerted effort to get Roddy the football?
I think it was more by the game. For sure we want, like I said, he's been an important guy, and I understand the storyline, but I also want people to know, hey, we love the guy. We love the competitor, what he stands for, what he's about, and he's going to be an important guy for us, moving forward. So, did he get one early? I believe he got one early. And, the fact that he's involved more or less, I don't know if that's his biggest storyline. Is this,
right.
We love the guy. We, want him to be there and making plays. There's so much action that goes over to Julio that there's going to be opportunities, whether it's Tammy or the running back or Rod or whoever plays inside in our slot. That happens, too.
It's also of note, too, you lose Devontae early yesterday. And I jokingly said earlier today, unfortunate in respect that if he stays in the game, based on that one run, he looks like he might go for 200.
We love the way that he runs and competes. And we would be much more comfortable when we're running and then throwing the play action off it as opposed to, just being dropped back where we have to go. But that wasn't the case yesterday. We had, some runs that were in, but he really is a factor in the run game for sure.
And talking about that run game, Dan, and when you look at, obviously, Devontae out of the game, Tevin comes in. Not a lot of step down when Tevin comes in the game, but the experience level, just a little bit of experience that Devontae has to choke the motor and maybe not get there as quickly. It looks like Tevin's running 90 miles an hour all the time, and maybe he runs too fast sometimes. Can that happen?
I think it can be too fast, or when you don't get out and press your blocks enough, when you're behind on the down, and then I got to make a cut that's not the right one. So that'll come with experience for him. But we do want to, at every chance, go and attack the line of scrimmage and then get vertical. So there were some that he was a little bit behind yesterday. And I would say the fact that he's gone through it now, okay, just like Devontae did early on, okay, he was a little late, you know, and he missed the read. It's going to pay dividends for us moving forward.
I know you've got to wait and maybe determine where Devontae is later in the week. To that effect, Tevin maybe gets some reps earlier in the week. Those are important reps for him, I would think, in his development.
No doubt. The more experience, the more times he gets just carrying it, trusting his block, setting them up, and then getting vertical, all that adds up. And so for him, yesterday, having those experiences, okay, I've been down this road before. I know what it looks like. Here's how I'm going to go attack it.
It's interesting. We hear in this league all the time about quarterback development. Running back development also takes time, right?
Sure, it does. And especially in the scheme that we run, where there's a really specific way that we like to go set our blocks up. And, you know, it's one gap at a time, and then we get to begin the cutback process. So we got a lot of confidence in him, and, you know, we'll see where it goes with Devontae this week in terms of him being in the concussion protocol.
Right.
And we'll follow the guidelines that go with that, and then we'll see where it goes at the end of the week.
Dan, looking at the other side of the football, I think I counted up. Seven series of the game for the Colts were five plays or less, and all of it ended up in a turnover or a punt. And four of those were three and outs. They only had 274 yards of offense yesterday. They did have a couple of long drives that resulted in touchdowns, and one of those was facilitated by a couple of interference calls. Right or not, we don't know. But were you pleased with that side of the ball and the way they operated?
I thought they came out with really good energy, and we talked about the importance of the football and going after it. In practice, they were really – you know, trying like crazy to get the ball at, you know, at every opportunity. But we knew we had to come in and play with the energy and the juice that we love playing with, that special effort. And I thought for the most part it was there. And I think it ended up whatever, 17 points. But two of the touchdowns we'd sure like to have shots at to go back. But in terms of the mindset to go after it and playing hard, I thought that part of our game is improving.
We talked a little bit about the open date and the bye and the ability to go look at what you've done, look at what you want to do.
Right.
How much did you get to that in this particular week, and how much of it is long-term stuff, maybe to the end of the regular season?
I think most of it's the long-term stuff, defining the right matchups, the right people, playing in the right technique to feature our guys the best. The thing that I'm pleased about, very few explosive plays, so that number keeps going down. And really, the things that I'm most concerned about defensively is scoring, then into total, the turnover ratio, and the explosive plays. Because if our scoring's down, the explosive plays are down, it's hard to continue to go down the field, unless you have some penalties that could extend a drive. But those are the things, the scoring, the turnovers, and the elimination of the explosive plays, that will help us play really good defense.
Dan, it may have been overblown a little bit. You had talked about moving Beasley maybe over to let him come off your left side a little bit, the offensive right side, and move Sko back over and let him go ahead to go kind of team up with AC on that side. Did you get some of the things out of that that you wanted to when you did go to it?
I think when we saw there, I think both the guys are capable of going to either side. We pressured some, which you thought was effective at times, to move, you know, Hasselbeck off the spot. And whether it's left side, right side, we know Vic has the speed to do that. Although the production wasn't there, we thought there were some good rushes.
Yeah, the combination of guys yesterday, too. I know we noted in the course of the broadcast defensively yesterday, a lot of variety in your combinations, guys moving around. You really got into the depth a little bit on that side.
Yep.
You stay with a lot of folks back.
Yep, and we still wanted to feature the guys doing the things that they do best. And so that's what we tried to do way more. I thought, you know, really had a good game tackling. It was good to have Durant back. We used Akeem King in some situations and where we wanted to cover him. And Wheeler's a good blitzer, which we found out, and can really bring it. So we're just trying to find all the unique stuff that guys have and then try find ways to feature that.
Very quickly, Akeem King comes to the active roster a couple of weeks ago prior to San Francisco.
Yep.
Nice, ironic story from the California area, played at San Jose State. Nice for him in that respect. What does he give you? I know size. He only played, what, 1 or 2 years of defensive back in college, I think, right?
Yep.
Originally there as a wide receiver.
It was when we made the decision. I don't know if I shared this story with you. When we made the decision 2 weeks ago to bring him up, it was in the Bay Area. So, you know, you thought, that's good. I get to go, you know, play in front of my family. He said, man, he goes, that's awesome. I get to go play, you know, get on the field with my brothers. I thought, what a cool, you know, comment for him. The development for him outside at corner, we like the size, we like the length, and then could we teach him to play at the line of scrimmage and have the patience, because he can run and stay on top and play all the things we want. So his development has been keeps getting better and better. And he's one of the guys in our development plan. He has put in the work. Yeah, he's here early. He spends the time in the weight room. He is absolutely going for it.
And I noticed you had two rookies playing your gunners on punt team, too. I think Akeem was one of them. You had Hardy on the other side. How did you feel like they responded to that opportunity?
And Hardy especially is one who's really, you know, stepped up on special teams. He had the opportunity for a tackle, I think, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so for him, he's another one that's kind of, you know, knowing that this opportunity is here for him, he's going for it. It's really cool to see.
Be nice if, in thinking about what Akeem, Coach just said about Akeem King, if he took the same track as a former college wide receiver and ended up playing corner in this league and being successful, that wouldn't be unlike some other Quinn pupils, would it?
yeah, we would certainly take that.
we would definitely take that.
And I'm not saying he's Sherm yet. I'm just saying it is an interesting track, right?
Absolutely. When you look at the side, how have you liked, Dan, the development of those? Jalen's played a lot for you.
Yep.
Obviously, Akeem's starting to get play some. But some of your young players, and obviously you're interested in winning right now. We're not talking about winning down the road. But how have you liked some of the young players and how they've blended in?
I think it's the speed that, you know, some of the young guys will bring with you. We're always going to make the decisions based on the team. But we know Grady Jarrett has speed, and Collins and Beasley and Robinson Therese. Those are some guys who can really haul. And we want to play fast. And Keem's another one that can add into that. At the end of it, our fast and physical style, you have to have the fast first. and those guys got it.
Real quick here before we go to break, how about the BMW question of the week for Coach Quinn? Of course, brought to you by United BMW. Selection, incredible service, the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW lineup today at United BMW in Gwinnett or Roswell, or online right now at unitedbmw.com. Don't forget, submit your question at 929thegame.com/askthecoach. Olivia from Sandy Springs. Coach Quinn, do you think this upcoming game against the Vikings is a must-win?
Olivia, I love it. Every game that we play, we're going to take the same approach, and we want to prepare just like it's a championship game. Mm-hmm. And by going through that mindset, it allows us to be at our best every week. And as I was getting back to earlier, where we had some games that were really close and we're 3-3 in those ones, and that's going to be the difference. It's one of the best parts about playing in this league. It's so competitive every week. So for us, you know, we've got to find ways to win these close ones, and that's what we'll do.
Adrian Peterson, and obviously a guy you've seen before.
Yep.
What's the different – is there a different mindset when you get a guy who is as capable as he is, who's as explosive as he is in both not only running but catching as well?
I think each runner has a unique style, mm-hmm. and so you want to make sure you're preparing in that way. And I think the thing that sets Adrian apart, other than just, you know, the sheer strength of it, man, he can really cut. He can put his foot in the ground and go. So our leverage tackling is going to be first and foremost at the front of our thinking, because he'll set it up, stick a foot in the ground, boom, come back another way, put it in the ground again. So I think that's the thing that makes him so unique, his ability to cut. It's one cut, and then he gets vertical again. It may be one, two more steps, and then another cut, and then he has the speed to go.
I really watched the two veteran running backs that you played this week, and it wasn't anything like they broke your back, but just the little things that they do, like you're talking about as a veteran player. Gore ends up with 80 total yards. Bradshaw had 52 total yards. You say, well, that's not all that much, 132 yards of offense. They had two touchdowns. But the little things that they do, Dan, as far as understanding protection to slide over and get that free rusher, and then to know when to leak out to give the quarterback
a screen that
you those two guys played at a pretty nice level yesterday.
Yeah,
they?
I thought, you know, we knew they were going to be tough, mm-hmm. you know, in the run game. We thought, okay, we've got to make sure we're just gap sound. And I think, you know, in the run game, we would have been pleased, you know, with that number. It was the pass game that hurt us, for, you know, with the running backs. And they're good protection, just like you said.
And an interesting pass game, too, because it didn't have a lot of depth in it. In other words, it was a lot of stuff, 0 to 20 yards in terms of throws.
We knew they were going to take it, you know, try to take a few shots, and I thought True really answered on the deep one, you know, out to TY, out on the side. But that kind of goes, you know, with the way we want to play. And when they do complete some passes, we want to make sure our tackling is just on point. And those are the things that limit the explosive plays when they do check the ball down, that when our leverage is just right, we go make a tackle and it ends up being a 6-yard gain. We can live with that.
Did you find that your self-scout stuff, that you went back and maybe you wanted to show something and give it a little bit different look? One of the plays I'm thinking about is the bootleg play where the receivers mirror the quarterback as he goes one way or the other. This time you had the throwback built in off of it. And I know that's been part of it. I think Tammy caught a big pass against the Giants in the same play. But it looked like he got back to it this week. Maybe he let it sit for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it's one of the ones, you know, it's going to be there. And it's a big part of our stuff. Unfortunately for us, Matt not only has the front side stuff down, but, you know, the ability to get it all the way back outside. the screen game for us is, you know, a factor as well. So Devontae, Tevin, those guys as the running back screens, as you saw in the game the other night, that can be a factor as well.
The Falcons and Vikings don't see each other on a regular basis. It'll be interesting on Sunday. They had a tough loss yesterday at Green Bay, obviously. When you look at the way the NFC is shaping up, and I know you don't have enough time to look and break apart only the teams you're playing week
right.
to week, is there a certain style of football in this particular conference? I mean, you were in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a certain kind of ball in the NFC that doesn't get played in the AFC? Are there little nuances in the two conferences?
I think there's nuances and could even be by the division, you know, in some regards to say, okay, is this team have more of a certain style? I think that may come up more often than not. I think there's the familiarity, you know, that you play more of NFC team. So you get to know the guys and the style and how it goes. But I think each team has, you know, certainly one say, okay, this is a tough outfit. You know, although Pittsburgh's in the AFC, you know, they're, you know, through the years been a pretty tough outfit and style. And you would say they might be an NFC team and the toughness they want to play, if that's kind of what you're leading into.
Sure.
No, I think really it's your own division that you spend the most time thinking of.
As you scouted Teddy Bridgewater, and he was coming out 2 years ago, and I know that all quarterbacks seem to be scouted by every team, whether you need one or not. You had Russell Wilson in Seattle, you didn't need one. But it seems like all those guys are looked at because you may have to face them at some point. What do you see from Teddy here in year two that kind of impresses you?
I think probably one of the earliest things I noticed from him is this guy is tough.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying? And we laugh at that. Say, really? That's the thing you're looking for a quarterback? But his team totally believes in him. He takes a shot, gets up, makes the throw, on to the next play. And I think that's a quality that all teammates really respect. We know sometimes there's quarterbacks that get hit right in the teeth. And they complete the pass, they get back in the huddle, and they call the next play, and there's a certain level of regard and respect that comes from a teammate. I know he has the arm strength, you know, to make all the throws. And certainly in the system that they're running now, they take some shots down the field. There's no doubt about that as much as anybody. But I think those probably two things were the things that jumped out, his toughness and his arm strength.
But, well, wait a second. The hardest lick he's ever taken is one that your defense put on him, right? Weren't you in the Sugar Bowl game where he got
hit? You had to go there.
You're trying to forget that.
Yes. But I think that's probably where I first noticed him, you know, in terms of toughness. And but then just, you know, when you watch him in the league and in the games he's been into, and there was another one last night. He got banged up, and you wouldn't know it. Just, you know,
it's
right back into it. And I think those are the things that maybe get a little bit overlooked as a QB, but not by your teammates.
Yeah, it is interesting because you bring up toughness, and the one thing that was often asked about as he made the jump to this league was, could he physically handle it?
Yep, and I think he's answered those questions. Yeah, just as for the people that probably knew him, said, are you kidding me? This guy's as tough as nails. Mm-hmm. And I think it's you know, certainly showed that way.
Well, certainly from a toughness standpoint, our guests and our player spotlight today on your show, Patrick DeMarco, certainly encompasses that.
I think it's everything that he brings, you know, the role that he has on teams. You know, being a lead blocker is a really unselfish position where you're devoting yourself for the prosperity of the guys behind you. And that's a real, you know, for him, that's a role that he takes great pride in. And he's a very good leader for the group of guys he's with. He's got three really young halfbacks, you know, that's in the room with him. And he's kind of the wiser guys have maybe a little bit more experience, and they lean on him for sure. But he's an important part of what we're doing.
I had a chance to talk to Patrick yesterday. He was our Solomon Brothers Fine Jewelry Player of the Game yesterday, and with his two touchdown catches, and he calls them my backs.
Right.
You know, he's like the mother hit. Yeah. I said, well, when Devontae went down, did it change when Tevin comes in? He goes, I like both my backs, both my guys that were backing up. You know, T. Ward, T. Cole. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the mother hen kind of shuttling him in.
Talk about my guys. Yeah, I can see that from him.
But he's a mother hen coach in his fourth year.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Yeah. he is a wiser guy. But I bet he's always been that way in terms of the leadership and the respect that he has.
How much of this in the bigger picture, the struggle here and
sure.
getting this thing back to
that's
what you
the truth.
How much of it is about guys taking ownership and leadership and kind of building your program here a little bit? I'm going to use the collegiate
that's
acronym.
Fine, yeah.
If, but building the program here and getting through this is those guys taking ownership of
I
it.
I think at times you can come through the struggle stronger. And sometimes when you have to go through some hard times and some hard lessons, which we are right now, can we own those lessons to be at our best? So sometimes having to go through this struggle, which is uncomfortable as hell, but you have a chance to say, all right, we'll have to go battle for it. And I think it's mostly mindset. We've got some really good players. So the mindset portion comes in a good bit.
Hmm. I know how much you're week to week. Do you allow yourself now as you get into this back, closing out on the back quarter of the season, do you allow yourself to poke your head up and look at what's going on in the NFC, or do you just keep your head down?
Yeah, I don't think it's the time for that. And for me, I think right now it's the time to say, let's get our mindset back for finishing, and let's get our mindset back for the ball. And those are the things I know we can control. And when we do that, we like the results a bunch. So I think it's a little early to project where we could go. I have a sense we've got some good players, and the effort and the toughness is there. Now let's put the whole package together with how smart we can play too.
When you assess kind of the way this unfolds here a little bit, what's the perfect recipe this week? What's the two or three things you want to see out of your football team, regardless of who you're playing, to kind of get that back to where you want?
Yeah, I think number one, I want it to be about the ball. Mm-hmm. And the way we want to, you know, own it on offense, and the way, you know, on the defense and the cover teams go to go after it. I think that's where it starts for us. We've got tough guys all over the spot, you know, playing O-line at fullback. We just talked about Pat, our quarterback, a bunch of guys. You know, the receivers, they cracked some guys yesterday with some pretty physical blocks. So I want to make sure it's about the ball. Let's make great, smart decisions, you know, for everybody.
You guys used a little bit more, not up-tempo, but a little bit more at the line yesterday,
right.
It seemed, on offense.
We did.
And it was very successful for you. It certainly looked successful. Was that something that you saw that you wanted to get to? And that's kind of a synergy between Matt and what Kyle wants to do offensively?
Yeah, and I think it's always been part of our package. So when do we want to feature it more? So we have different ways in our no huddle. We can go really fast, or we can work from the line of scrimmage. And sometimes it's just within a drive. You know, you get a big play and you want to do it, or you may want to start the drive that way. We had two drives yesterday that ended up being a turnover on the first play. So maybe there would have been some time to use it some more if we chose to. There's a price of doing business that way, too, where time of possession can go in a different way. And we're really good at owning the ball and, you know, having long drives on offense. So I'm not, you know, one that, you know, how fast can we go and play at mock speed? I want us to play where we're attacking.
As a guy that spent.
You know the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. As a guy that spent part of your career coordinating that other side that's kind of confronting maybe a tempo or an at-the-line type deal, give the fan an idea. What is an offense trying to do to accomplish by staying at the line of scrimmage and operating against the defense?
I think the biggest one is it affects the substitution.
Right.
Because if the offense doesn't substitute, neither can the defense. So on some of the long drives where maybe a six play and you stay in it, you know, some of the big guys would stay in longer. So that would be, you know, some of the first one. The second one is when you're going at a quicker pace, the defense doesn't do as many unusual looks, you know, as opposed to when the clock stops and you have more time to disguise a certain coverage or a certain look, because you're not exactly sure, you know, when a formation or a motion may happen as opposed to when you're going really fast.
How long would a conversation potentially happen with your guy defensively or with the quarterback when you're in one of those type of situations, when you're trying to get the play in?
It's pretty quick, both sides, you know, because nowadays just about everybody uses a code word or a hand signal that can mean a lot of things.
Okay.
And so both defensively and offensively, people are pretty equipped to play, you know, in a style that you want to, but you have to practice it.
I think the fan is under the impression that there's constant conversation coming into the head of Matt Ryan or coming into the head of Paul Worrell, whoever's calling the defensive numbers or defensive shots.
Yeah, not the case.
Yeah. It's more something that you've done during the week to prepare them.
Right.
That, okay, we've got a call. Here's the call. Now you make the adjustments based on what they're doing.
That's correct. And so are the tendencies, are they staying the same from what you studied and put all the preparation in based on the look that the offense or the defense is given? But it's just another way to play, and there's lots of ways to do it and be really successful. And fortunately for us, we've got a number of good guys that we're able to use in different ways.
Nine on the ground, two through the air. Ryan throwing wide open for the touchdown is Patrick DeMarco.
Welcome back to a Monday edition, Dan Quinn Coaches Show. We're at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and that's our SunTrust Play of the Game, brought to you by our friends at SunTrust. Work as hard as you do. And, of course, Patrick DeMarco, two touchdown catches yesterday, is in our player spotlight. I'm going to throw some numbers at you here. Yesterday, prior to the game, in your career, 22 catches, 160 yards, one touchdown. Yesterday, I like the ratio a little better. Three catches, 21 yards, two touchdowns, including the first one there a moment ago.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Arch's great line for years, Pat, has always been, Got to give those guys a crumb every once in a while. Well, you got a loaf of bread yesterday, huh?
I did. I'm grateful for it. I wish we could have made some more plays as a team and got the W, but glad to be able to contribute in any way I can.
Pat, you guys have run the ball with a lot of success this year, and you're a large reason why. I know that you disperse credit. Obviously, the offensive line and tight ends have done a nice job. The receivers, Roddy had an unbelievable crackback on the 43-yard run. I believe it was Roddy. Talk about how that has kind of come together, because you didn't run the ball that well the first couple seasons you were here. This year, you really have something going.
Yeah, there's just it's kind of a different vibe. We all believe in each other. We all trust each other, and that's kind of our whole run game in the scheme of it is, you know, take your track and trust it and trust that the line and the backs and the receivers are going to be in the right spots. And my running backs are doing a great job of trusting us and making us look good.
I love the fact that we were laughing with Coach Quinn earlier in the show. We were talking about, I said, you know, Patrick thinks those guys are, he's like the mother hen. He's got his arms wrapped around those guys. Those are his backs. Talking about your backs, obviously Devontae goes down. We never want to see anybody get hurt regardless of what the injury is. Devontae goes down with a concussion and Tevin comes in. When you have a guy that comes in that hasn't carried it as much, Tevin's been a little banged up himself. Is there anything that you say to him to kind of get him dialed in, or what do you do with your other two hens that you had in the hen house?
I just grabbed him and I said, look, Tev, you're up now. I believe in you. Just go show the world what you can do. And kind of reiterated that today with him. I went and spoke with him and just making sure he's ready. And he's a super talented kid, and it's exciting to see what he can do with the ball in his hands, and now the world gets to see.
Well, and you're the veteran guy, and as we were talking with Coach Quinn, you're fourth year now, and you're the veteran guy.
Yeah.
Usually you got to wait a little while longer. So what do you impart to these guys, as much about getting ready to play the games, as much about, you know, what you do off the field and just kind of being a professional football player?
Yeah, so I got a bunch of young guys, as
yeah.
you all know, and it's cool to see how they – tend to look up to me for advice and not just football but everyday life. And we have a great running backs coach in Bobby Turner.
Sure.
And he's helped me out, he's helped them out in personal life and football life, and we kind of feed off him, and they've taken in what he said and they've learned a lot, and I have too. And outside of talking to Bobby T, they turn to me, and I try to give them the best advice I can. And we're growing. The young guys are growing up quick, and I'm growing up as well. So excited to see how this turns out.
How scary could this be, though, for the young guys? Because you got off to a fast start, and as a young player, like maybe Ward and Coleman say, wow, this is the way it is in the National Football League. We're 5-0. And then all of a sudden, 4 or 5 go the other direction, and maybe they start, you know, is that part of what the conversation has to be with you and those young guys?
Early on, when we won those few close games, the whole team was on a high, and I kind of realized, look, these games don't always go your way, and as we've seen lately, they haven't. And so you just can't take them for granted. And I feel like a few of those tight ones early on in the season, we just were like, oh, it's a close game, we're definitely going to win. Doesn't roll that way. And I think now coming back, we can't take any of that for granted. Those games we won early, it's because we put our butts off all 60 minutes, and even the Washington game when it took a little longer. And we just got to keep doing that. We got to keep fighting.
It's interesting. We had Devontae here about 6-7 weeks ago, and he was talking about a year ago being a rookie and Steven Jackson was on this team and kind of starting to get the sense of the bigger picture as a pro player, as a rookie, from a guy like Jack.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from a guy like that? Because I'm beginning to understand that maybe Steven Jackson, in just a couple of years here, and it didn't go great from a statistical standpoint, had a little bit more imparting of knowledge and wisdom on this football team, maybe in that running back room, than people realize.
Oh, for sure. Jack was was our leader in that running back room those years, and he taught us a lot. I think probably the main thing he taught us was how to be a pro.
Mm.
And in this game, it's, you know, as a 22-year-old kid, you have to be a pro right away. And teams expect you to, and he, you know, he taught us a big part of the game is recovery. And, you know, as a 22-year-old kid, you don't think, oh, I need to spend an extra 2 hours up at the facility kind of getting my body right for the next game. But, you know, you should probably spend a little more than 2 hours getting your body right. And he showed us that. He helped teach me how to watch film, how to dissect film. And I'm trying to teach my young guys now that too, of what he's taught me. And, yeah, Jack was a huge influence on all of us here in Atlanta.
Patrick DeMarco here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and our player spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Okay, what's going on, Pat? I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. This is a – it's been a crazy scenario. There's no magic pill you take to take care of the football. How does the quarterback, how does the running backs, how do the receivers, how do you dial that back in to where you start valuing the ball a little bit so it doesn't hurt you?
Well, that's the key thing of our program is taking care of the ball and defensively getting the ball out. And our defense actually did a good job of getting the ball out, and we just didn't do a good job of protecting it. Definitely on us. It's a lot of it's timing and execution, and you know, everybody's going out there competing. The whole team played hard, from offense, defense, and special teams. We fell a little short, but got to take care of the ball. Can't give them the easy ones.
Well, we talked about here at the top a couple of touchdown catches yesterday. You've always been a really good receiver, though. That's something you've taken a lot of pride in. Is it different in this offensive system for you catching the football than it was before?
It is. It's, you know, your fullback's never really your first option in the pass game. Mm-hmm. There might be five plays in the whole playbook where the fullback's the first option. So it's knowing your role and knowing where you need to be at certain times and being ready when your number's called. And that's the way the NFL is. When your number's called, you got to be ready. And I was glad to be able to go out there and execute when the ball was going my way.
Well, your number's called in a lot of different ways. I think we saw the two touchdowns and then the really big third down catch you made to extend a drive. Those all three catches were meaningful in the game. And then your contribution on special teams. I think that the third phase of the game really gets overlooked unless you take one back or somebody takes one back on you. I know you like it and you enjoy it. I've talked to you about it before, but how taxing is that to do all the things you do offensively, maybe from a mental standpoint, first of all, and then physically, you're playing on all the special teams, your core special teams guy?
I mean, I love it. I love going out there and just competing every day, and special teams is just another avenue of going out there competing and showing what you can do. It's, you know, as an undrafted rookie or an undrafted guy in the NFL, you have to find your role, and you might not be the star once you get in, but you know, you contribute on special teams for 4 or 5 years and you find yourself as a starting running back, the starting fullback or starting receiver. And it's Keith Armstrong has always kind of hit us and told us, you know, like this guy didn't start at the X receiver or Z receiver. He was covering kickoffs his first 2, 3, 4 years. And they realized what he was doing for me. And then they said, shoot, let's use him. And kind of taken that to heart and gone out there and contributed as much as I can on special teams, and it's carried over, and they've trusted me more on teams and on offense.
Well, you mentioned being an undrafted free agent. You can certainly relate to where Terron Ward's been and mm-hmm. where he's come from. How different is that early in your career? Obviously, it's something once you play a handful of years, as you have, the dynamic changes a little bit. But early on, that I guess I want best word I can think of is slight. You weren't taken in the mm-hmm. three-day process. So what's it mean the first year you're playing? Does it once the season starts, does it really resonate at all, or are you just too busy worried about game to game?
See, when I went undrafted, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder. It was kind of one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, if these teams don't value me for who I am, I'm going to show them that they need to value me for who I am. And I think Ward has definitely stepped into that role. And when he came here, he was the quickest guy to pick up the offense in the running back room. And I was super proud of him. Coach Turner was always said, this is my sharp pencil guy right here. And Teron's come a long way. He's continued to grow, and he will. But he's working for us on special teams, and you're a third down back, and he's doing a good job.
Well, we certainly may see. We have no idea, and hopefully Devontae's ready to go this week. But this certainly may be a week where his workload increases dramatically. Mm-hmm. Terron Ward may be playing the number two back behind Tevin Coleman. We don't know that yet. We'll wait and see and try to give you fans an update as the week goes on as to what's going on with Devontae Freeman. Patrick DeMarco with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pat, I mean, whenever you lose and wherever there's turnovers and things like that, it's the quarterback and the coach, okay? And that's where the blame lies. A lot of times where all the success or all the accolades go to the quarterback and coach as well a lot of times. This guy's been in the league a long time. Matt's played in a lot of games, a lot of big games, made a lot of big throws this season. Mm-hmm. Is there ever a moment where you see a guy that is a star of your team or one of the – that you might go over and you guys visit about, hey, we got you, any of that. Is any of that happening with a guy like a Matt Ryan or Julio Jones or somebody like that?
Oh, for sure. Matt knows that we all have his back. He's our quarterback. And, you know, everything's not on him. The protection has to be right. The receivers have to be on the right routes. That's, timing has to be good. There's a lot that goes into a play, and it's not just throwing and catching like some people think. It's although we have turned the ball over a little bit, wouldn't rather have another guy out there than Matt leading us. And I mean, Matt's a genius on the field. He knows what's going. He knows what the center's going. He knows where the tackle's going. He can draw up everything. And you know, we just, as a whole team, we got to go out there and execute better and not allow these turnovers.
To that end, you guys use a little bit more of the no huddle, not necessarily up tempo, but no huddle to try to lock the defense in place. Dan was talking a little bit about that earlier in the show. I know sometimes you're on the field for that, sometimes you're not on the field for that. Is that something that the team really – is that something you really like? Is that something that gets kind of the juices flowing offensively when you got kind of Matt running the show a little bit out there?
Yeah, you get in a rhythm. I know, especially as a fullback, whenever I'm in there for four, five, six plays in the same drive, you know, you're not running on and off the field. One, that's a long run. You get tired out there running 40 yards on, 40 yards off. But, you know, you get in a groove. And I know, especially having my running backs in the backfield, we like – getting touches. We like seeing the same thing over and over again. It just, you feel more comfortable. And I think the up-tempo stuff definitely allows you to do that, and it tires out the defense and kind of keeps them on their toes.
Well, as you guys get ready for Minnesota here on Sunday at 1 o'clock, you don't have to go too far to remember last year. Very disappointing game in Minneapolis. In the NFL, unlike college, there's not a lot of carryover 1 year to the next, personnel changes, things of that nature. But what do you remember that you think will help you this week in getting ready?
They were a physical team, and I think we took them kind of for granted, a little bit for granted last year, and didn't prep the way we should and how they were going to play us and what they did. And it's going to be a good film to go back and watch and kind of critique yourself and critique ourselves as an offense, defense, special teams, to really know what we're going up against. And I know they still have a lot of the same guys on their team, so we can scout them, do that, and Sunday we'll be ready to go.
You might want to just watch the first half of that game, because I think Levine Toilolo at right tackle probably is not what you want to look at there.
I was the next guard up.
The next guy up.
Were you really?
Dirk grabbed me and he said, if one of our guards go down, Pat,
you're in.
You're playing guard.
Can you imagine that? The right side of your offensive line is DeMarco at guard, Toilolo at right tackle.
Wait a second. Real quick here in our final 2 minutes. let's explore this guard-tackle combination. Have you ever played in the offensive line?
And my freshman year of high school, I played right guard and right defensive end. And
so you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance, yeah.
He told me that, and I strapped my pads on. I'm like, all right, here goes nothing.
You didn't reach for a new set of pads.
No. I know one thing. What have we been doing if Pat got in there? If I'd been calling plays, we've been blocking down, and we've been pulling him out in front.
Yeah, we would
have. Out in front. That would have been fun.
And maybe that's why you would have been the next guard, right?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I call you the neck shortener, because that's what you do a lot of times. There's a linebacker coming in, you're shortening people's necks. Who's a guy on that side of the ball here in the last minute or so, on the other side of the ball that you've faced over your 4 years, that is one of those guys that's maybe been your equal when you start banging heads with somebody? Is there a guy out there that kind of sticks out in your mind?
I mean, as a rival team?
Yeah, as a linebacker coming at you, somebody on the other side?
I mean, the Panthers, they have some good backers.
Yeah, you're right.
And so Keekly and Luke Davis are always – they're never shy to meet me in the hole, and I'm never shy to meet them in the hole. When we know each other on a personal level, because we sit there and we bang a good bit. So it's always good to go out there and compete with guys like that. You know, you're going to get their best. That's why you got to go out there and give them yours.
Love it.
All right, Patrick DeMarco with us in the Player Spotlight. Thanks for the time. Good luck this Sunday.
Thank y'all.